The conference has started.
Amen.
It's so good for us to gather here in the mountains to give the Lord the opportunity to come and meet with us.
Amen.
And to come and speak with us.
Amen.
That's right. Do you know why we go away to the mountains? Not to find snow. Not to camp out. We come to the mountains to get away.
Amen.
To get away from all the things in our normal daily life that kind of occupy us. Kind of distract us. And we get up here where there's nothing that much to do but enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
So this gives the Lord an opportunity to come and be with us and to appear to us and to speak to us.
Amen.
So I hope all the junior high boys, I hope all of you, right now, because the conference started, right now you would be turning your heart to the Lord.
Amen.
Even, you know, when we go to conferences, we should even go praying inwardly, praying to the Lord. Oh, Lord, this weekend, let me hear your voice.
Amen.
Lord, let me see something new of you this weekend.
Amen.
Even how about you pray this little prayer right now in your heart? Lord Jesus, I turn my heart to you.
Amen.
Can you pray that? Lord Jesus, I turn my heart to you. It's good to pray. Okay, also what's good when we come to the conferences? It's good to come to the meetings on time, okay? So I know we all had to drive up today and there's traffic, but now we're here. So tomorrow morning, let's come to the meeting on time. And when you come into the meeting room, do you know where you sit first? The front, right? We always fill up the meeting room from the front to the back, not the back to the front, right? Front to the back. Okay, what do we do when we come in and we sit down? Start from the front to the back. Excellent. Good. And then when we sit down, we don't just sit there waiting. Who's going to do something? Who's going to say something? We start the meeting.
Amen.
That's right. Junior high brothers, do you know who starts the meeting? You do.
Amen.
That's right. You start the meeting.
Amen.
You can start the meeting by calling on the Lord.
Amen.
Let's call on the Lord together two times. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay, you could start the meeting by praying. Some of you could pray. Or you could start the meeting by calling a song.
Amen.
It's very good. And when we sing with our heart and our spirit. What do when we stop singing? When we stop singing, we either call another song, or sometimes it's good to linger on that song. And if we enjoyed a particular line or a particular verse or the chorus, it's good to release it by speaking it.
Amen.
This is to release a praise to the Lord. So when we finish singing, don't just kind of sit there wondering what's going to happen next. Speak. Speak something from the hymn. It's very good. Okay, can we do this? Can we practice this? Okay, so now in this part of the meeting, I will speak a little bit to you, but also in conferences, what we do is during the meeting, we listen and we take notes. So I hope you all got your outlines. Did you get your outlines? You have to have your outlines when you come to the meetings, okay? And did you all bring a pen or a pencil? You have to bring your pen or a pencil with you to the meeting. So if you don't have one and there's a serving one next to you, say, hey, serving one, can I please have a pen or a pencil? Okay? Because you should take notes. So we listen, we take notes, and then you know what will happen? At some point, brothers, are you listening? At some point, we may ask you, now how about you speak something that you enjoyed? See, right now, if I asked you, speak something that you enjoyed, you'd say, well, I don't have anything yet. Brother Craig, you haven't spoken yet, right? But how about at the end of my speaking, I might say, hey, front row brothers, how about you stand up and speak something that you enjoyed? Well, if you took notes, you'll be able to remember, oh, that's right, I enjoyed this point. Okay? So it's good to take notes, and it's good to be thinking, considering. When the brothers ask for the junior high brothers to speak, what point will I speak? And when it's your turn, you can stand up and you can speak the point that you enjoyed. I tell you, if we would all do this weekend, we would have a really awesome junior high conference.
Amen.
But we all need to enter in, okay? We all need to practice this. All right, let's come to our outlines. The general subject for this weekend is a normal fruit-bearing life. Let's say that together. A normal fruit-bearing life. This weekend, we're going to share with you, speak to you about how to be normal. That's right. We're going to talk about how to be normal. We're going to talk about fruit bearing. What does it mean to bear fruit? And how to bear fruit? And we're going to talk about life. That means we're going to talk about what kind of living we should have. So we're going to cover a normal fruit bearing life, or a normal fruit bearing living. So tonight, we have to start with message one. Let's all turn to message one. And let's read the title for message one. Ready? God's eternal purpose and the fall of man. Okay, God's eternal purpose and the fall of man. Roman numeral one. I'll read this to you. God created man to be a duplication of himself, that man may have the capacity to contain and express him. Okay, the first point under this Roman numeral is that God created man. Who created man? God. Does anyone know a verse in the Bible that tells us that God created man? What is it? Genesis 1:26. There it is, right underneath Roman numeral 1. Let's read Genesis 1:26 together. And God said,
"Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of heaven, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every
creeping thing creeps upon the earth." Very good. So this verse is very clear. God said, "Let us make man." Amen. Who made man? God. Amen. God said, "Let us make man." And he was very particular. He said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion." Amen. Image, likeness, dominion. Make sure you underline those words. Or circle those words. Image, likeness, dominion. When God made man, he made man in his image, according to his likeness, to have dominion. Let me ask you, what are the three key words in Genesis 1:26? Amen. Okay, stop. Junior high boys, not serving ones. What are the three key words in Genesis 1:26? Very good. Image, likeness, dominion. Okay. God created man to be a duplication of himself. When God created man, he created man to be his duplication. You know what a duplication is? It's a copy or a reprint. It's to be made exactly like another. When God made man, he made man as his copy, to be exactly like him. You know, my name is Craig, Brother Craig. Okay, you're looking at me, right? Brother Craig. If you take a photograph of me, who will my photograph look like? Me, right? It will look exactly like me. It will be an exact copy of me. So right now, you all can see me, right? And you all know who I am. I'm Brother Craig. What if you were to walk into the next room, and in the next room on the wall, there is a big photograph of me? What would you think when you looked at the photograph? That's Brother Craig. Right? You say, that's Brother Craig. Because that photograph would be a duplication. It would look just like me. Okay, what if you never met me, but you were in the other room, and you only saw this photograph on the wall, and at the bottom of it, it said, this is a photograph of Brother Craig. And so you looked at the photograph, and then you came into this room, and here I am standing. What would you think? That's Brother Craig. Brother Craig and the photo are the same. Well, this was God's intention. When he created man, he wanted man to be his expression here on the earth. So that when you looked at man, who would you see? God.
Amen.
When you looked at man, who would be expressed? God would be expressed. That's absolutely right. That's why in Genesis 1:26, it has image and likeness. Image is related to something inward. Inward. In our inner being, we have a soul. We have a mind, emotion, and will. This matches God. God can think. God can feel. God has a will. So in our inner being, we have a match. We're just like God. We can think, we can feel, and we can choose.
Amen.
Whose mind do you think God wants us to have? His mind. Whose feeling or emotions do you think God wants us to have? His.
Amen.
Whose will do you think God wants us to have? His.
Amen.
He wants us to choose His will. So we are inwardly in God's image. And also outwardly, we are according to His likeness. Outwardly, we even have an outward form that's like God. So we were created in such a marvelous way that we could be God's duplication.
Amen.
To be God's expression. It's wonderful. But in Genesis 1:26, it says, image, likeness, and what else is there? Dominion. So God wanted man to express Him, and also to represent Him. To represent Him. The image, the likeness, is so that we could exercise dominion. We could represent God. And this word dominion means more than just authority. It implies authority, but also it denotes a realm or a sphere, a place in which God can exercise His authority. We have to realize this earth is under the influence of God's enemy. So we are here on this earth, on one hand, to express God. On the other hand, we are here to represent Him, to bring in dominion, to bring in a realm where God's enemy doesn't rule, but where God rules.
Amen.
Do you realize that, junior high boys? Do you realize why you're here on the earth? Because God created you so you could express Him and so you could represent Him.
Amen.
He wants us on this earth expressing Him and driving back His enemy.
Amen.
This is the image and this is the dominion. This is why we were created. This is wonderful. You know, I was going to illustrate this matter of dominion being a realm or a place, and something more than just authority. You know, I grew up in New Zealand, and I have a very good friend of mine. He is in the New Zealand police force. So because he's in the New Zealand police force, he wears a policeman's uniform, he has authority. And if he wants to pull you over, he can pull you over. He has the authority to do it. But if he were to get on an airplane and fly to the United States, land at LAX, and get out of the plane, would he have the authority to pull somebody over?
No.
He's in the wrong realm. He's in the wrong place. Only when he's in New Zealand does he have the authority to pull over whoever he wants. This matter of dominion also implies a realm, a sphere, a place in which God could have his authority. Remember this. This will come up in our last point. Okay? And it relates to you and I. It relates to your junior high school. That's right. That's right. But we'll touch that in a little bit. Okay? So do we get the key point in Genesis 1:26? What are the three words? Image, likeness, dominion. And that's so we could express him and so we could represent him. Okay, junior high brothers, read Ephesians 1:9-10. According to his good pleasure. Okay, we need to work on our reading. Okay? All right. Okay, junior high brothers, stand up. Okay, maybe you had a big dinner and you're getting sleepy while you're digesting it. Okay, first of all, when we read a verse together, we have to read in unison. Okay? So don't try to be the fastest person to read it. Okay? Try to read together. Okay? And when you read, exercise your spirit when you read. Okay? This is God's Word. This is not the newspaper we're reading. This is not a magazine or a comic book that we're reading. We're reading from God's Word. Do you think this Word's important? Yeah, it's God's Word. Okay? So let's try with Romans 9:23. Let's read it boldly with our spirit, and let's read it together. Ready? In order that he might make known the riches of his glory upon vessels of mercy, which he had before prepared unto glory. Amen. Very good. Okay, you can all sit down. That's very good. Okay, the first part of this Roman numeral was God created man to be a duplication of himself. Now we need to go to the second part, that man may have the capacity to contain and express him. When God made us, he didn't make us as an instrument. He didn't make us like a hammer. A hammer is an instrument. If you want to hammer in nails, you pick up the hammer and you use it. Bam, bam, bam. But God didn't make us to be an instrument. God made us to be a vessel. And every vessel has a certain capacity, the ability to hold something. Do you realize that when God made you and me, he gave us the capacity, the ability to hold him, amen, to contain him? Amen. Wow! That's right. The Bible tells us God didn't make you as an instrument. He made you as a container. He shaped you just the right way so you would have capacity. You would have room for him to come inside of you. Amen. So you could contain him. Amen. Let me ask you, is this a good container? No. Why not? Hasn't been shaped the right way. Hasn't been shaped to have any capacity to contain anything. So I could put something on it, but I can't put anything inside it. How about this water bottle? Is this water bottle a good container? Why? Well, it's being shaped the right way. It's being shaped to have capacity. What's the capacity of this water bottle? 500 milliliters, right? It has the capacity, well, to speak American, 16.9 fluid ounces, right? This bottle has the capacity to contain 16.9 fluid ounces because it was made that way. Well, if there was a label on you and I, it would say, the capacity to contain God. We were made to contain God. Okay, if we were made to contain God, then what do you think our content should be? Junior high brothers, if we were made to contain God, what should our content be?
God.
Amen. That's right. Our content should be God.
Amen.
Who should we get filled with? God. Amen. That's right. And as you will see, this is the real key. In order for us to express Him, in order for us to be able to represent Him, first of all, we have to contain God.
Amen.
First of all, we have to be filled with God.
Amen.
So this weekend, we're not here just to go through some messages. We're not here just to have a nice time. We're here this weekend to get filled with God.
Amen.
Why? Because that's why we were made. And that verse we read, Ephesians 1, 9 and 10,
Amen.
This is God's good pleasure.
Amen.
Do you want to make God happy this weekend? The way we make God happy is that we let God fill us.
Amen.
The way we please God this weekend is we let God fill us.
Amen.
We let Him become our content. Then when He becomes our content, we're able to express Him.
Amen.
We're able to represent Him.
Amen.
Oh, brothers, this weekend I hope we all make God happy.
Amen.
Because we all let God fill us.
Amen.
Isn't this good? Isn't this good?
Amen.
This is marvelous.
Amen.
To see why we're made. But now we have to touch something not so marvelous. Roman numeral 2, the fall of man. Oh, Lord Jesus. So before man, this wonderful container, able to receive and contain God, and able to express God, before man could receive God, God's enemy came in. God's enemy came in to trick man, to deceive man, to get man to turn away from God as his content and to take something else in as his content. Let's read Roman numeral 2. Let's read point A together. Man and the entire old creation of God became corrupt, fallen. Man and the entire old creation of God became corrupted, contaminated, and fallen. When did this happen? This happened in Genesis chapter 3, after God, who had created man as his duplication, according to his image and likeness, for him to have dominion, he put man in this wonderful garden, and in the middle of the garden, there were two trees. The tree of life, signifying God as man's content, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, a substitute for God as our content. And God told man, you can eat of whatever tree you like in this garden, except don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day that you eat of that tree, for in the day that you take that tree in and make it your content, in that day you will surely die. Well, in Genesis 3, along came God's enemy in the form of a serpent. He just slithered in there. And he came to Eve, then eventually to Adam, and he caused them to doubt God. He caused them to doubt God's intent for them. And through their listening to Satan, through their being deceived, man partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when man partook of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, another content other than God came into man. That was called sin. Sin came into man. And that sin caused man to become corrupted, contaminated, and fallen. Actually, not only man, but all of the old creation. Okay, let's read B. fallen man became filled with sin and possessed by Satan, and his every part is full of darkness. Let's read C together. After man knew good and evil, he became independent from that day onward. The root of sin is independence. Okay, and I'd like us to read the verses. How about we have this side of the room right here? You read the first verse, Romans 5:12. Go. Therefore, okay, here, two things came in, sin and death. Sin and death. Now, what is in every person? Sin and death. Are these good things? No. Is this our rightful content? No. What should our rightful content be? God. That's right. Okay, now let's have this section right here. You read the next verse, Romans 8. 21a.
And hope that the creation itself
will also be freed
from the slavery of corruption.
So here this verse tells us not only did we get corrupted, but even creation itself got corrupted. This is a terrible fall. Okay, let's have this section right here. You read Romans 7, 17 to 18a. Go. Now then,
it is no longer I that work it out, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells.
Now then, it's no longer I that work it out, but sin that dwells in me. No longer do we express God, but we express sin. Is this why we were made? No. No. This is a terrible fall. And I'll read to you Ephesians 5:8. For you were once darkness, but are now light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Well, the first part is related to the fall. For you were once darkness. So now we have the problem that through the fall, there's sin, there's death, and there's darkness. This is not why we were created. We were created to express God and represent Him. So what is God going to do? What is God going to do? Well, let me tell you, in the book of Genesis, we see four things. In the book of Genesis, we see God created. In the book of Genesis, we see Satan corrupted. And the third thing, we see man fell. Okay? So far, we just covered those three things in the two Roman numerals. God created, Satan came in to corrupt, and because of that, man fell. But there's a fourth thing in the book of Genesis. It tells us God comes in to promise to save. God comes in and promises to save.
Amen.
To do what? To save us from our fallen condition.
Amen.
To save us back to His original intention.
Amen.
Isn't this good?
Amen.
Wow, I like this.
Yeah.
I like my God.
Amen.
Even when we became fallen, He promised to come to save us. And to bring us back, to restore us back to His original intention. Okay? So now we need to come to Roman numeral 3. I'd like us to read the Roman numeral together in unison. Ready? God became a man, accomplished redemption, and became the life-giving Spirit to enter into us as our life, everything. Okay. Some of you may have been sitting there wondering, when is He going to bring out the glove? Right? Don't you often See the glove? When we talk about God creating man in his image and his likeness, and we use the glove to illustrate how the glove is in the image and likeness of the hand. Well, I didn't disappoint you, right? I have the glove. But I have lots of gloves tonight. Okay? And I'm not sure how to illustrate this so you can all see. Can you see the top of this table where you sit? Probably not, right? Okay. All right. I may have to have some of the serving ones help me in a little bit. Okay, but I have lots of gloves. Who do the gloves represent? They represent us. Okay? And gloves were made to contain a hand. When it doesn't have a hand in it, it's not fulfilling its purpose. It's not fulfilling the intention for which it was made. Okay, so after the fall, was man fulfilling the intention for which God made man? No. So man was just what? Still in the image and likeness of God, but man was empty, not filled with God. And man had also become fallen, corrupted, contaminated. So even if God wanted to come and enter into man, he couldn't because of this contamination of sin. So what is God to do? Well, maybe God could have done this. Okay, I'm done with you. And just wiped us out and said, let me start again. But no, that was not God's intention. God promised to save. Okay? God promised to save. Even in Genesis, he promised that one would come to save. He promised that the seed of woman would come to bruise the head of the serpent. This is God's promise to man that he would come to save. And one day, God came.
Right.
One day, God became a man. So, Luke, I'm going to have to use you. You're going to have to go down behind here. Yes, so they can't see you. Okay? So here's the earth. Here's the earth. It's full of man created by God. But is man expressing God and representing God? No, because man has fallen. One day, God became a man, so you better become a man. Stay down there. Put your hand inside it. It's a lefty. Okay. Okay, stay down. Okay, now put your hand up high. Okay. One day, God became a man.
Amen.
Who was that? Jesus.
Amen.
Now on this earth, there was a man who was not only in the image and likeness of God, but there was a man who contained God. And there was a man who expressed God. So now if God wanted to give a thumbs up, God in that man could give a thumbs up, right? Now if God wanted to wave, he could wave. What's this illustrating? Now in this man, God could be expressed on the earth. And God could be represented. Now this man, when he came, the Bible tells us he came as a great light.
Amen.
He came as a great light to people who were in darkness.
Amen.
Okay. Isn't this a glove that's fulfilled? Because it has a hand in it. It's containing the hand and expressing the hand. Let me ask you, are these gloves fulfilled?
No.
But what happens if this glove comes into their midst? Wouldn't they look, if they were alive, wouldn't they look and say, look at that. Look at that. We should be like that. That's what we should be. We should be a glove with a hand in it. And what happens? These gloves would start to follow this. We want to be like you.
Amen.
We want to be the same as you.
Amen.
Because we realize that's what we were made for.
Amen.
We gloves were made to have a hand in us.
Amen.
And we see you're a glove with a hand in you.
Amen.
We want to be just like you. Okay, Luke, you can get out. That seems painful. Thank you. Well, do you get the picture? When Jesus came on the earth, he was God in a man. He was a man who contained and expressed God. So when he came to people, he was like a light shining on them, showing them, this is what we were made for. This is what it's what we're meant to be. And when he came to people and they saw him, people started to follow him. He was a great light coming to people who are in darkness. And darkness means you can't see. You can't see what is the purpose of life. What am I here for? You can't see that whatever you're doing without the Lord is vain and empty. But when he came as a person filled with the Lord, he was such a light. People said, wow, that's what it is to be a man. Amen. And we want to be like that.
Amen.
So in your outline, it has the verse from Matthew 4:16. Let's read that together. The people sitting in darkness have seen a great light, and those sitting in the region, to them light has risen. Okay, and then immediately after this, he went and he found Andrew and Simon. And he said, follow me. And then he went a little further and he saw two other brothers, James and John. And he said, follow me. And you know what they did? They started to follow him. Why did they follow him? Because he did some great, powerful thing? Because he was floating above the ground as he went? And they said, wow. No, they followed him because he was a man that was filled with God, expressing God and representing God.
Amen.
And that attracted them. Wow. That's the image and dominion that God wanted in Genesis 1:26. But I need to tell you something. I need to tell you something. The Lord, when he came, he caused people to see the purpose for which man was created, and this attracted people. Today, the Lord wants to do the same thing on the earth. But the way he does it through you and me. Did you realize that? Today, the Lord is doing the same thing on this earth through you and me. So let's read the next verse on your outline. John 17:15. I do not ask out of the world, that's right. I do not ask that you would take them out of the world, but that you would keep them out of the hands of the evil one. Brothers, this is marvelous. Yes, we were fallen, but one day our God became a man.
Amen.
And he set up the model. He set up the pattern. And not only did he do that, but also because he lived the perfect human life, he was able to go to the cross, and he was able to die there on the cross to shed his blood to accomplish redemption, to pay the price, to satisfy God's righteous requirement. And after dying on the cross, he entered into resurrection, and in resurrection, he became a life-giving spirit.
Amen.
And today, he is here as the life-giving spirit. And what does he do? He comes into us.
Amen.
So today, let me ask you, where is Jesus? He's in us.
Amen.
As what? The life-giving spirit.
Amen.
So let me ask you, are you this kind of person? Or are you this kind of person?
Amen.
This, right?
Amen.
Because we now have the right content.
Amen.
We have the Lord within us. But then, when we receive the Lord and he's in us, he doesn't just take us away from the earth. He leaves us here. Why? Because he wants to be expressed and he wants to be represented right here on the earth. And today, he's being expressed and represented through all the ones who are filled with him. Today, he wants you to go to your junior high school. And he wants you to, when you walk onto your junior high campus, he wants you to walk on that campus filled with him. So that when you walk on your campus, when you walk to your junior high and you walk onto the campus, and you're there, you express him. And not only are you expressing him, but there on that campus, you are representing him. And his good pleasure is not only would you be expressing him and representing him on your campus, but as you're there, others would look at you and they would say, wow, look, there's something different, but a good different. Like, I think that's it. I think that's the kind of person I'm supposed to be. I think that's the kind of living I'm supposed to have. I want to be like that. And so then they come to you and they ask you, why are you like that? And you tell them, I'm like this because I have the Lord Jesus in me.
Amen.
And you tell them about how the Lord came and how he died for us to redeem us, and how he rose from the dead to become a life-giving spirit so that today he could get into us.
Amen.
And so now on your junior high campus, it's not just you, but it's others who are now getting filled with the Lord.
Amen.
This is marvelous.
Amen.
Let me ask you a question. How many of you are the only brother on your junior high campus? Raise your hand. Okay, wonderful. You know why I say wonderful? Because you know what we should pray? We should pray this year, because of you being on your junior high campus, one other junior high will receive the Lord.
Amen.
And get filled with the Lord.
Amen.
And begin to express the Lord.
Amen.
With you. How many of you are on the campus with others? Other brothers? Okay. How many of you are on a campus with two others? How about the two become four? How many of you are on a campus with three, four, or five? How about the three, four, or five become six, eight, or ten? Okay, you put your hands down now. Like an army. That where we go, we express the Lord and we bring the Lord's dominion. We bring a realm, a sphere in which the Lord can rule, in which the Lord can have his authority.
Amen.
Did you ever have this thought of why you go to junior high? It's not just to study. Yes, you need to go to study, and yes, you need to go to classes. But you go there to bring the Lord to that campus,
Amen.
To bring his expression and to bring his dominion so that others on that campus could be brought to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
That's my point for tonight. That wherever we go filled with the Lord, expressing him, representing him, and others would be attracted to the Lord through us. Just like when the Lord was on the earth, the disciples were attracted to the Lord to follow him, the same today. Wherever we go, because we're filled with the Lord, others can be attracted to the Lord through us.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so I'm going to end with 2 points. Okay? We're okay for time? Okay, 2 points. We need to be filled, right? We need to be filled. I'm going to give you 2 ways to be filled. There's lots of ways to be filled, but I'm going to give you 2 ways to be filled. The Lord, he is the life-giving spirit. That means he's pneuma. He's like air. Okay? Can I have two junior high boys stand up? Come to the front. Two. Okay? You and you. Okay? Here's another vessel. Okay? It's another container. This one's made to contain what?
Air.
Right? Made to contain pneuma. Okay? So there's your container. and his yours. Okay? All right. Your job is you can only blow one time into that container. Okay? You can blow many times, multiple times. Okay? Let's give you 20 seconds. Okay? So you can only blow once, but you can blow as many times as you want. Go ahead, try to pop it in 20 seconds. Go. Okay. Well, no, we're not going to share the... Okay, don't, okay, stop. Okay, good. Stop. Hold it. Don't let the air out. Stop. Stop. Hold it. Hold it tight. Hold them up. Okay, hold them up high. Come on, up high. Okay, which one's got more pneuma in it? This one, right? Has more air. Okay, you can let the air out now. And okay, all right. Go sit down. Go sit down. It's okay. Okay. Brothers, do you want to be filled with the Lord? Well, you can't just call one time. You can't just pray one time a day. You can't just sing one time a day. That's like that brother who just blew one time. Yeah, there was a little filling, right? But just a little filling. Which balloon do you think had more glory, more expression of what a balloon should be? The one that had more air in it. So we need to, throughout the day, be calling on the Lord. We need to, throughout the day, be praying. We need to, throughout the day, be singing. That's like blowing. Right? Or if you're pumping up a ball, that's like going. So how about we get filled with some heavenly pneuma right now? Let's call on the Lord, okay? Ready? Oh, Lord Jesus! Oh, Lord Jesus! Oh, Lord Jesus! Oh, Lord Jesus! Good. So we need to pray and call like this. Okay, now do you have your Bibles with you? I want you to turn to Matthew 6, 9 to 10, and then I'll be done, okay? Okay, we're going to pray read. This is another good way to get filled. And you're going to pray read with the brother beside you, and then I'm going to sit down, and then Brother Peter, after we pray read, will tell us what to do. Okay, Matthew 6, are you listening, brothers? Brothers? Matthew 6, chapter 6. Verse 9 and 10. You then pray in this way, Our Father who is in the heavens. We're going to pray from here. Your name be sanctified. And then we'll pray, Your kingdom come. That's all we'll pray. Your name be sanctified. Your kingdom come. I'd like to ask you, pray this every day. Father, Your name be sanctified in me. In other words, Father, be expressed through me. And then, Father, Your kingdom come. What is this? This is image and dominion. Okay? So why don't you pray, read this with the brother beside you for 30 seconds, then Brother Peter will tell us what to do. Okay?